You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 23rd of November, 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I thought we would have a look at migration again, because the government are proudly saying that the Manston Processing Centre, which is where the fake refugees were being housed before they were going off to hotels, have now been emptied. But of course, where have they all been emptied to? Yes, that's right, into hotels around the country. The number of migrants housed in hotels has hit 40,000 after the Home Office emptied the Manston Processing Centre. Sources said there were now a record number of migrants, most of whom arrived by small boat across the channel in hotel accommodation. And they're only putting them in the hotels because there is now a shortage of social housing in other places to put them. I mean, this is putting a lot of pressure on people that are seeking houses to rent for themselves. British families, British citizens are finding it difficult to find places to rent because everywhere is being filled up with migrants. That's where they go on to from the hotels. Once they've been put up in these hotels at a huge cost, staying at in luxury accommodation in lots of cases, they can be there for up to a year. And after that, they are placed in either social housing or private housing. So you've got another 40,000 people there now that are going to be putting pressure on the houses that are normally put up to rent by private landlords. And we're now hearing of people getting difficulties finding somewhere. We're hearing of people living in their cars because they're unable to get a house to rent. I mean, this is on top of this problem with them all staying in the hotels. There were 37,000 migrants in hotels at a cost of £5.6 million a day at the beginning of this month, when a processing backlog had also led to around 4,000 being held at Manston in Kent. And now these other 4,000 are also being put up in hotels. Amid concerns over conditions at the site, the Home Office stepped up moves to transfer migrants from the former RAF station. Who is it that was concerned about these conditions at the site? Well, it was the government. They were complaining about this, both the left and the right, and they were even saying that these fake refugees could actually now sue the government because they were held at the processing centre for longer than 24 hours. They were only supposed to be there for 24 hours. And these people that are there, they're people that have broken into the country. If they're going to be claiming asylum, they're supposed to claim asylum in the first safe country that they come to. France is a safe country. France is not at war. Every one of these people that have turned up on our shores have broken into the country, effectively. And they are not asylum seekers because they have passed through safe countries. But what we end up doing, apparently, in Britain, we end up okaying, I think, 60 to 80% of these asylum claims get upheld. And the ones that aren't upheld, they still get put up in a hotel anyway. They still get the social housing anyway, while they appeal the fact that their asylum has been turned down. And very, very few of these people ever get deported out of the country. They're only likely to get deported if they carry out a serious crime, and that would be after they end up being in the prison as well. We should not forget that all of these people have broken into the country. It's the same as breaking into somebody's home. They should lose all their ability to claim asylum if they do something like that. They should be just deported to another safe country. Africa is where they should go because the majority of them come from Africa. The Albanians can go back to Albania. There are plenty of safe countries in Africa. Rwanda is a safe country. And yet we're being held up from deporting them to Rwanda. And apparently, as Steve Laws was saying, it's only about 200 a year that Rwanda is saying that they're going to take. And we have 40,000 of these people here now in Britain being put up in hotels. At least another 3,000 extra hotel places have now been block booked by the Home Office to house the transferred migrants. So all this attention was drawn to this, and the general public was saying this needs to be stopped. We need to stop putting them in hotels. We need to stop holding them in this centre in Kent. We need to be deporting them. And what the government have done is they've just booked out more hotel places and taken these 3,000 that were in this holding centre in Kent. They're now all living it up in luxury accommodation in hotels. The cost of the asylum system has soared to £2.1 billion a year from £500 million a decade ago, mainly due to the cost of providing taxpayer-funded support for those arriving in the UK. Migrants are being placed in hotels due to a huge shortage of more economical options such as self-catering flats and social housing. So all the social housing is used up, all the self-catering flats are used up. So this is what's causing the difficulty with people finding houses, finding social housing, getting on the council list, getting picked to get a house on the council list, and just in private renting. This is what's caused this problem. And it causes a lot of resentment when you think that British citizens are being overlooked for housing so that somebody who is just broken in can be given a house. It's effectively like a burglar breaking into somebody's house and then being given the house to live in. And where is it that the government are now finding places to put these asylum seekers? Because as we've seen around Heathrow, it's all now filled up with them. All the hotels are full. So where are they putting them? Well, they're putting them in all the rural areas, aren't they? Thousands more asylum seekers will be sent to live in rural areas, the immigration minister has confirmed. And of course, the rural areas are the areas that contain the most indigenous British people. Rural areas, a lot of rural areas are 99.9% white. We keep hearing about how this is a problem for non-whites when they come into the countryside because they don't see themselves reflected there. Well, of course they don't, because they like to live amongst their own people in their own communities, and their own communities are all in the cities, the multicultural cities. So the government are now exporting them out of the cities into the rural areas where we don't have the resources for them, and they're causing all these problems. Robert Jenrick said migrants, including those who travel in small boats across the channel, and that's pretty much all of them that are being put up in these hotels, would increasingly be accommodated around the country to ensure greater fairness. He thinks it's unfair that the people that live in rural areas are missing out on the wonders of diversity. How unfair it is that they don't have these colourful faces living in the hotels, in the expensive plush luxury hotels in those rural areas. Of course, what he means by greater fairness, he just means by the numbers, that which is exactly the same as what the European Union tries to do. It tries to say, well, these countries that like Germany, that invited migrants to come in, refugees to come in, it's not fair on them having to house all of them. Hungary should take their fair share as well. And of course, Hungary says, well, we don't want them. We don't want them at all. We want to increase the numbers of the Hungarians, not increase the numbers of non-Hungarians in our country. And what we have here in Britain is the complete opposite of that. They want to increase the numbers of non-Indigenous British in the country. They want to replace the non-Indigenous British and have a certain number of non-whites, because that divides the country. It prevents the country from, and the people in the country, the Indigenous British people in the country, from uniting around a common cause and changing the people that are at the top there. Division is a weakness, isn't it? A house divided against itself cannot stand, we are told in the New Testament. I think it was Christ that actually said that. And yet we have our government telling us that diversity is a strength. It's not. It's a weakness. And that's why they encourage this, because they know that it weakens the resistance. It weakens our ability to get together around a common cause and change things. So Robert Jenrick is going to export these migrants all around the country into all the beautiful rural country areas. It comes after the Home Office was warned it could face thousands of compensation claims for unlawful detention by migrants who were housed for weeks in a processing centre in Manston, Kent. And it's incredible, isn't it, for unlawful detention. These people have unlawfully broken into the country. They should be put in a prison cell, not making compensation claims because they weren't put up in a five-star hotel fast enough. Mr. Jenrick told MPs, "We are attempting to procure accommodation in a much broader range of local authorities than has been seen in the past. Historically, the issue was centred on cities." And also they mean a much broader range of quality in the hotels, because all the three-star hotels have been taken up. Now they're starting to take up all the four-star hotels. And eventually they'll be put up in five-star hotels. We're already starting to see them being put up in stately homes. Eventually they'll end up being put up in castles, won't they? He says, "We are now seeking to procure accommodation more broadly in smaller cities, towns, and indeed in some cases in rural areas." I mean, these rural areas, you're expected to be able to drive and have your own car. There's no public transport there. I mean, how are these migrants going to get to the things that they need? They're going to end up fighting amongst themselves, demonstrating that it isn't good enough for them. And of course, again, that's just going to rub the British, indigenous British people up the wrong way, isn't it? When they see that these fake refugees are protesting, that it's not good enough for them at a four-star hotel. But the problem is that they won't be able to get out to the facilities that they need from there. And that's the sort of thing that they'll be protesting against. But it will rub people up the wrong way. He says, "That does mean, I am afraid, as long as numbers are so high, that more parts of the country experience this issue, but it does ensure greater fairness as to how, as a country, we tackle it." It's just not right, is it, that the countryside doesn't get to experience diversity. All the wonders that we have in the multicultural cities will soon be appearing at a rural location near you. He was replying to Jonathan Gullis, the Conservative MP for Stoke-on-Trent North, who claimed the hotels in his area were being dumped on with migrants by private contractor Serco. Well, that's not a very nice way to talk about these fake refugees that have broken into the country, isn't it? Likening them to being dumped on. And this is the main thing that Serco is now being known for. Serco is a private company, and the government likes to contract a lot of the work that the government used to be responsible for. They like to contract it out to Serco. And Serco have now become the people that are facilitating this takeover of the hotels. At least 37,000 asylum seekers, most of whom arrived in small boats, I guess some of them came in the back of lorries, are currently in hotel accommodation at a cost of £5.6 million a day. Mr. Jenrick said last week he wanted to end the use of hotels and instead provide basic but decent accommodation. And it could see the construction of large complexes like those in Germany and Greece. And instead of deporting them, instead of sending them back, they're going to spend a lot of money on building brand new buildings in order to put them up in. It came as the owner of a country hotel rejected a £1 million offer from the Home Office to house Channel migrants, saying it would have destroyed his business. And there have been quite a few notable hoteliers that have refused this offer from the government. I mean, you think about it, it's a lot of money that the government are offering through Serco, and it means that it's the equivalent of the hotel being block booked with every room being taken up for a year. But the thing is, it also means that they have to get rid of all their staff. It means that they have to get rid of all the prestige that they've ended up working to gain for that hotel, and it means that the people that own the hotel are going to be completely ostracized by the villagers that live in that area, who are going to be disgusted at the hotel taking the money to do that to the area, which will just ruin the area, won't it? You've got a lovely, peaceful area with a community that all know one another, and suddenly the community is three times the size it was before, and two-thirds of the people there come from a completely different culture, are a completely different ethnicity, and have completely different ways of doing things, and don't even understand English. So, of course, it's going to ruin things for the solidarity and the sense of community that the people have there in these rural areas. Richard Martin, he's the guy that owns this country hotel that rejected the offer, whose family have owned the Blazing Donkey near Sandwich in Kent for 30 years, said the government's proposal was farcical, bordering on the offensive. I mean, he sounds like a really nice guy. He's got his common sense there. He's got his instincts there. He can see that this is incredibly offensive, particularly when we have our own homeless that are on the streets and who don't get to be put up in a hotel, who are on the streets because they can't get social housing and are being looked over so that these fake refugees can be given housing. And that's the really offensive part of this. The deal would have seen small boat migrants, or fake refugees as I call them, block booked in all of the hotel's 27 rooms, including some boasting four-poster beds, luxury bathrooms and hot tubs, which normally cost £275 a night. I mean, that is a real luxury hotel. That is loads of money to be paying to stay in a hotel overnight. And the people that you have staying there are people that have just broken into the country. I mean, how much is it they pay to get into the country? £2,000? £4,000? I mean, they'd only have to stay at this hotel for a week or so, and that would cover all the money that they spent on breaking into the country, wouldn't it? I mean, we hear of people taking pictures of their trip all the way across Europe, getting everything paid for effectively. And then when they do turn up in these hotels in Britain, suddenly their luggage arrives. We've seen all luggage arriving as if they'd actually been travelling through an airport, being delivered to these hotels. Once they're broken into the country, once they're settled in, once they're in the hotel, they obviously tell their associates where they are, and the luggage gets posted on to them. Mr. Martin said he was offered £1,080,000 for guaranteed 100% occupancy for 12 months. So, I mean, it is a good offer that the government are making. And, you know, it's just great that a lot of these hoteliers are refusing to take it. You know, they're saying my principles are more important to me than your filthy lucre. And I think more needs to be made of the fact that these hoteliers are refusing it. He says, "We have flogged our behinds off making this into a good business. And so we were incensed at being contacted by this agency acting for the Home Office. In all, there are 25 employees on the regular payroll, rising to 50 with banqueting staff in the wedding season. And we would have had to lay most of them off. So we dismissed the offer out of hand." And that's the point here. Loads of people end up losing their job. You've got people that were looking forward to getting married in their local hotel. It can no longer get married there. I mean, some people have actually had the weddings already booked, and they've now been told that they can't because there's migrants that are going to be staying at the hotel instead. And of course, that makes people think, well, are these fake refugees? Are they worth more than me? Are they? They're more important to the hotel than I am. More important to the government than I am. I mean, this is what is so offensive about this, as this Mr. Martin points out. He says, "We would have had to disappoint 200 odd brides and grooms who have already booked us as their venue and refund £250,000 in deposits overnight." And this is just one hotel. So you think that's 200 weddings that had to be cancelled. And we haven't heard about these hotels that have actually taken the money, how many of their weddings have been cancelled. He said, "That was out of the question. I was insulted by it." Mr. Martin added, "Just how they regard us as being suitable for asylum seekers is beyond me. Well, it's just that is a venue that has beds in it. And that's the reason why the government are doing it. But all the cheaper venues are now used up, so now all they have are the posh 4- and 5-star hotels to use. Mr. Martin said there are 4 poster beds and hot tubs, so there doesn't really seem to be any synergy there at all, and our reputation would have been shattered overnight. And I think that's part of this as well. I mean, some of these hotels that they were first using were pretty grotty hotels. They were out of the way. Maybe they weren't fully booked a lot of the time. All of those have now been used up. Now it's all the posh hotels that the government are going for. And now that they've said that they're going to go for the rural areas, they're talking about really expensive hotels in really beautiful areas that are now suddenly going to be filled with the sort of people that think it's a good idea to break into somebody else's country. The Home Office declined to comment. It came as 4 Albanian nationals were arrested after a VIP migrant boat landed on a Kent beach. The grey, rigid, inflatable boat was found at St Margaret's Beach near Dover on Monday. What could a VIP migrant boat mean? Well, small-scale vessels are used by smugglers to provide a bespoke service for clients willing to pay a larger sum to reach Britain. They offer safer conditions than regular migrant boats, which are often overloaded. So it means that you get a smaller boat and there's only 3 or 4 of you on there instead of there being 20 or 30 of them on there. A Home Office spokesman confirmed 2 people who drove away with 2 migrants from the boat were arrested the following day on suspicion of conspiracy to facilitate illegal entry. Of course, that really won't go anywhere, I doubt, because they can just say, well, these people are here, they arrived and we gave them a lift and now they've disappeared again. Even if they get brought in by the RNLI or the Border Patrol and they end up being put up in these hotels, there's nothing to keep them at the hotel. A lot of them just abscond. They just disappear. And the ones that stay at the hotel, I guess that they enjoy living it up, living the high life. The ones that just escape and run off, they've got family here or they've got friends that live in the country and they go off and they work in the black market for them and send all the money back to the country that they came from. And then if they do claim asylum, as we learned the other day, a lot of the time they go back to the country that they claimed they had to run away from. I think it was a ridiculous number, like 80% of the ones in Germany had gone back to the, or Sweden had literally gone back to the country they claimed was too dangerous for them to live in. They went back there on holiday. Well, a lot of people are now starting to get upset about this. Homeless people in one of the UK's most deprived towns have told GB News they have become invisible as authorities prioritise accommodating channel migrants over their own citizens. And I think this is the first article that I've seen where they've actually been talking to the homeless and asking how they feel seeing that these people, these criminals, are being treated better than them. And this is going on, this particular incident is going on in Blackpool, but it's probably going on all around the country. The group, including young people and an army veteran, that's the homeless group, said they were being left to sleep rough on the streets, while more than 300 asylum seekers were being housed just yards away in one of the town's most iconic hotels. I mean, this is just so offensive, isn't it? GB News has also learned that a Home Office contractor is looking for another 3 hotels in the Blackpool area to accommodate hundreds more channel migrants. Well, perhaps it might actually help, might benefit these homeless people to pretend that they don't have any documents and pretend that they come from Albania or from some other country. And that way they might get put up in a hotel. They might not have to actually sleep on the streets. You imagine that you're sleeping on the streets and the hotel just across from where you're having to stay is filled up with foreigners that broke into the country that the government is paying millions of pounds for to put them up while you're shivering, huddled under a sleeping bag, under cardboard boxes in a street outside. I mean, surely this is going to be really upsetting for not just the homeless people, but also the other people that live there in the city. I mean, the people that live in Blackpool. Probably not just the indigenous British folk either, but British citizens, people that are non-white, that may have been living in the country for quite some time. I'm sure they would also find it upsetting to think that the British homeless are outside on the street, while people that have made their way through Europe are being put up in a hotel for free. It is a situation that is stoking growing local anger in the town, which is currently celebrating illumination season. So that's nice for the fake asylum seekers, isn't it? They can see the Blackpool lights there. You know, people pay money to go to Blackpool to see what those lights look like, and they're getting it all for free, all laid on by the British government. The homeless rate in the local area is twice the national average. So they do have a lot of homeless people in Blackpool that are being ignored while the foreigners are put up in the hotels. Local authorities across the country are already struggling to cope with the additional burden of accommodating thousands of asylum seekers in their areas. It's not a burden that these local authorities should have to deal with, is it? If people break into the country, they should be taken back to the country that they've came from, at least. I mean, I think it would be better to just to send them to a safe country in Africa. I thought that was the best idea the Conservatives have come up with, but apparently they can't do that. I don't see why they can't do that. Australia can do that. Anybody tries to break into Australia, they get put up in a camp in Papua New Guinea, and they're told you've got no chance of getting into Australia. And that stopped all the illegal entrance into Australia. All we would have to do is the same thing here in Britain. But the government says, oh, no, we can't do this. We'll just have to keep putting them up in hotels. I mean, I don't think any other country in Europe puts them up in hotels. It's like they're just mocking the British citizens by doing this, aren't they? For towns like Blackpool, the problem is acute, as the services on offer for the growing number of homeless here are under intense strain. For the past year, the town's Metropole Hotel has been home to around 300 mainly male asylum seekers. So the asylum seekers have all been looked after in the hotel, and the homeless don't have enough services on offer for them. Probably struggling to get food, whereas the fake refugees have all got a chef that's cooking for them within the hotel. Inside the Metropole, in obvious comfort compared to life on the streets, are those who paid criminal gangs across the channel illegally, while life for the homeless and the vulnerable seems almost unbearably miserable. Unbearably miserable and extremely insulting, I should imagine, for these poor homeless folks. But that was a city. Blackpool is a city, as we mentioned at the beginning here. They're now being farmed out to all the rural areas. We have one area in Wales that has been making the news recently. A hotel in a quiet Welsh village with just 400 residents has been rammed full of some 200 migrants at a cost of £6.8 million to British taxpayers. So the town now has a third more people in it than it had before. Two-thirds of the town are residents and a third are fake refugees. And we've heard of much worse statistics than that. I mean, I think in Linton-on-Ouse, it was going to be something like 1,500 migrants to 500 residents in the village. And thankfully, because of all the pressure that was put on the government, thanks to all the protests, a lot of them were organised by Patriotic Alternative. That plan of the government's for Linton-on-Ouse has either been scrapped or put on hold. But what it means is that the problem moves to another part of the country. As we see here, the problem is now in Wales. The 106-room Hilton Garden Inn in Dolgarrog. Imagine that, the Hilton. I mean, that is a posh upmarket hotel, the Hilton. A sleepy community in the Snowdonia National Park has been booked all the way up to spring 2023 as a short-term solution to the ever-worsening boat migrants crisis in the English Channel, according to Britain's incompetent Home Office. At great expense, at a time when Britons are being told they can expect to have tax hikes and public service cuts inflicted on them in order to control inflation. So it's not just that it's winding up the homeless that we're seeing these people being put up in hotels. It's also just winding up the general public that are having to pay more for everything, having to pay higher money for their electricity bill, for their heating bills. I mean, I did hear that one of the deals that Serco were doing when they're trying to get social housing or trying to get private housing to put the fake refugees in after they've been staying in the hotel for up to a year, they get all their bills paid for them. Yes, that's right. They go out to private accommodation and they get all their bills paid for them. And then they get a certain amount of money, I think 30 quid a week, 40 quid a week, which is to go on their own food. But all the bills end up being paid for them. So it's not just the private housing. It's also all the heating of the housing at the same time that the British people are having all sorts of problems with just paying enough electric and gas just to heat their homes. One alarmed father said of the migrants who have inundated Dolgarrog, "This is a small village and we cannot cope. We weren't told a thing. They just suddenly arrived." A local mother concurred, saying, "I'm shocked the migrants have been put here. They are all adult men. They belong in a city, not in a village in Wales." And this is the point as well. The mainstream media will try to tell you that it's all children, it's all women and children, but it's not. It's all adult men. As Steve Laws told us in the interview we did with him, it's mainly adult men that they observe coming in on these boats. And now we have villagers up and down the country that are also pointing out that it's all adult men that are being put up in their local hotels. Perhaps the women and children get given a house straight away. Dolgarrog boasts few amenities, among them a post office, a single cafe, a single restaurant, two shops and one pub based at the hotel itself. Unlikely to be of much interest to the typical asylum seeker, given most currently hail from Muslim-majority countries such as Albania and Afghanistan, but also no longer likely to be appealing to nervous local residents, if they are even still allowed in the hotel, now it has been taken over by the government. So the poor locals, they got one pub in the village, and that happens to be in the hotel. So this hotelier certainly wasn't thinking of the villagers and his local community when he took the money from Serco, was he? The move to pack the Hilton Garden Inn has seen the reservations of regular customers and events, including wedding celebrations, summarily cancelled, with one bride complaining of having been left mere days to make alternative arrangements. Poor woman, eh? Getting married and literally days before you're supposed to get married, you're told, "Sorry, we've got fake refugees staying at the hotel instead, and they're more important than you are." I should imagine this hotel owner is, I should imagine his name is Absolute Mud within this community. Well, in this area, Patriotic Alternative have been drawing attention to it. Patriotic Alternative Wales have been delivering leaflets to the area, letting the villagers know that there is an organisation that is speaking up for their interests. There is a community of like-minded, decent folk that they can join. And there's obviously an address on there to get in touch and join Patriotic Alternative Wales. And we've also seen the MP there has been pretty good as well. The local MP has been complaining about this, saying that he's not going to rest until he sees that these fake refugees are removed from the hotel and put somewhere more suitable. And obviously the most suitable place would be in another country. The whole idea of taking these people in and putting them up in a hotel after they have broken the law to get into the country, it just encourages more of it, doesn't it, really? It encourages more of it, and it's an absolute slap in the face for the Indigenous British, and it's also fairly insulting, I would say, to just to British citizens in general. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.